And that's where I'd like you to go with me tonight, John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 20, if you would turn there with me, please. John chapter 12, verse 20 says this, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled." And that's significant to Mark in our study tonight. This is the Lord Jesus making this statement. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say?" our Savior says. "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." What an amazing account of Jesus stating his purpose statement in life. He was revealing to these disciples and to these seekers, and I say seekers because we know there in verse 20 there were Greeks among them who had come to worship at the feast. That's talking about these Gentiles from around Jerusalem who had come and who had testimonies of wanting to know more about Judaism, wanting to know more about their faith. And they wanted to know more about Jesus. They were coming to seek more about Him. And of course, Philip and Andrew were sort of the channels of that time. And they go to speak to Jesus about this. And it is said that one of the reasons that work together and getting this news to Jesus that these people were seeking Him is because there was some sort of filtering who was real and who was not and seeking to talk to Jesus. But nevertheless, Jesus's response is the classic description of why Jesus came. And He came to die. We know that. And He came to die for us. And I just want to mention a few things tonight. And if I gave tonight's message a title, it would be this: Fulfilling the Purpose of Our Lives. Fulfilling the Purpose of Our Lives. Stephen Siller fulfilled the purpose of his life. That day on 9/11, his purpose in life, he felt, was to be a firefighter. He was committed to that. And it showed how committed he was that he did that on an off-duty day. And he fulfilled the purpose of his life, and he went forward with that. Well, that's giving a human example. But I want to tell you, I want to give the example of God the Creator. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, who was 100% God, 100% man at the same time. And He came to this earth with a purpose. And that purpose was to die. And He did that, and He did that perfectly. He fulfilled that, and that others might live. And I really appreciate what that brother said about Stephen, his brother. He said, you know, he died to save as many people as he could. Do you know that same thing can be said about Jesus Christ spiritually? He came to save as many as possible. It is God's will for all to come to Him. Not all will, but Jesus desires for all to be saved. And He came amazingly and miraculously for all. Now, I want us to notice a couple things here. Specifically, we notice His response. First of all, verse 23, He makes it very clear that His hour is come. What is that hour talking about? It's talking about Calvary, is it not? His hour is come, the hour of sacrifice, the hour that He had been purposed to do from eternity past. The hour is come. And that is to go to Calvary. And then notice very clearly what He says next. He says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's going to glorify Himself through His death. Because He is God. But He's also not just going to be glorified Himself, but He's going to glorify the Father. And that's where we notice there later on in the passage where He talks about the Father would be glorified. And He says that in verse 28, Father, glorify Thy name. And so, but look at verse 24, His response here to them. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, we cannot miss the illustration that our Savior is giving here. We see here He's referring to a corn of wheat. He says, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't understand all the technical things, but from what I understand, this is not just talking about a seed, okay? It goes deeper than that. It's actually a grain with a hull, with the actual seed part that's going to be multiplied inside. And this hull that covers it, it must go to the ground and be covered and be under the right elements in order to the hull to die and then the seed to bring forth light and actually life and multiply life to the where there's many grains. And what I believe Jesus is talking about here, He's first of all talking about Himself. He's talking about the very fact that He must die. He must die and be buried. And He would on the third day, as we know the Scriptures declare, we know He came alive the third day, the resurrection. But it's very clear here that He says that a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. But if it doesn't do that, notice what He says. It abideth alone. Now, in other words, if Jesus Christ would not have died, He just would have been glorified in Himself, but He just didn't come for Himself. He came for the glory of the Father. And He came also for us because He loved us. And so He had the Father's glory in mind. He had the salvation of the sheep in mind. He had these things on His heart and mind, our Savior did. And He knew that He had to fulfill His purpose. Now, in order again for this grain to reach its unlimited potential, it just needed to be released into the ground. And it's interesting, this word die carries the idea of if the word die, it will produce many seeds. But if it doesn't die, it doesn't produce any seeds. And Jesus, by His death, millions, and I would even say billions, have come to salvation through the Messiah. And that is something we rejoice in tonight. It's the reason we're all here tonight. We've all been born again by the Word of God, and we is because our Savior fulfilled His purpose in life. Now, it's interesting to note here as we think about the idea of Jesus bringing bringing Himself and giving Himself and death that that we might live again, that we might have eternal life. Notice what He says here in verse number 27, as I said, we would come back to. there's somewhat of a mysterious statement here made by our Savior. I don't think it's something that any of us will quite get our minds wrapped around, quite frankly. But notice what our Savior says. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now, it appears here is that our Savior is making a reference from actually being delivered from going to Calvary. And you will remember, if it be possible, he made that statement, I believe, in the gospel, in the account of Matthew's account, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And so there is that human side of our Savior that sees how troubling this sacrifice is going to be. It's going to hurt. And he senses that pain, and that's not sinful. It's not sinful to sense the pain from that human perspective, because we know our Savior was, there were times our Savior was hungry and he was thirsty, and we know that he experienced those human feelings, and I am sure he experienced that feeling of, wow, this is going to be an enormous amount of trouble, of heaviness, and that from that human perspective. But it must be stated very clearly, that was not any feeling that he gave into as almost as if backing out. No, 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 no. It's crystal clear in Scripture that our Savior, immediately upon those thoughts that this is great trouble, the thought completes in the verse, this is great trouble, but this is why I'm here. This is my purpose. It is, Father, I know it's going to be troubling. And I know the Father had the power. The Father had the power to save him from that hour. But that was not the plan, the purpose of the Father. And by the way, before I go on, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But remember, friends, you may be going through the darkest time in your life. And you understand why can't God deliver me? He's God. He has the power. You want to know why, friend? Because God has a purpose and a plan in your darkness right now. And you may not understand it, but you must, with the Spirit of our Savior, say, Father, thy will be done, not my will be done. And so we see here that the Savior had the purpose of not deliverance, which was somewhat of a human instinct towards danger, but his purpose was death. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ. And he would not be deterred, as one author said, from his duty. I'm thankful our Savior had that resolve. Amen. He was the God-man, and he came to do that. And we see, so the direct context here immediately is the Lord Jesus talking about his death on the cross and the resurrection. Because his life, by going into the ground, he is going to come forth 3 days later, and the fruit of the resurrection is going to bring multitudes of fruit. But he doesn't end there. Jesus then talks about himself, but then he turns the arrow, if you will. He turns it towards you and me. He turns it towards us. Because he says here, in verse 25, he's talking about he that loveth his life shall lose it. And then he goes on to say that he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But then he goes on to talk about, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And then he goes on to talk about how this is truly his purpose in life. So then I just want to finish up with tonight's thoughts on this. And following in the steps of our Savior, how can we fulfill our purpose of dying to self? Of dying to self, fulfilling our purpose through death of self, how can we do that? Well, let me just share a couple thoughts with you, and I want you to be thinking about it too, because I'd like some response from you tonight. One that comes to my mind immediately is in understanding that this truth of fulfilling the purpose of my life through death of self is this: my life is no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. You know, it's called that idea of ownership. You know, the things you buy, you take some ownership with it, don't you? I mean, I could go across this room and talk about different things that you have purchased with your own money, and maybe you saved hard, worked hard, might be a car, might be a toy, I don't know, but you own it, and you like that. It's yours. And because you own it, you use it for what you seem necessary for. Amen? You make your choices, you know, on that. And hopefully you're always using it with a good attitude and willing to share it with others, you know. I mean, but honestly, we think about the fact of ownership. And you know, that's where we need to realize, first of all, in this area of fulfilling our purpose and being that seed, that hull, that corn of wheat that falls into the ground and to get buried, we must realize that this life is not about Brinson Jennings, and you can put your name in that blank. It's not about us. And Father, this is about you. This is about your glory, where you lead me, where you put me, what you allow me to go through, how you work in my life. Lord, I'm yours. And the next one goes right along with that. My life belongs to God. It is something that I realized when I'm going to belong to the Lord, and I want to be used for His purposes. And God has bought me. So Lord, whatever purpose you have, let me do that. I never thought when God called me to Niger, Africa, I never thought I'd be pastoring a church in the States. And God brought me to a breaking point over there in the Sahara Desert when He was obviously closing that door. And I want to tell you, I had to die to self, and Joanna did too. We were filled with pride. We were like, Lord God, we have done all these things to prepare to go to Africa. We have done this and that and made these steps and whatnot, and we've told people we're going to go, and we went, but now it looks like you're closing the door, and we didn't want to give in, but in order for us to make the next step, we really had to die to self, and we had to realize, God, we don't understand your purpose in this. You've changed our direction. You've changed our focus, if you will, but dear God, we want your purpose. Now, we didn't come to that right away. God had to bring some real conviction in our lives and humble us. But I'm thankful He did, and I'm thankful He didn't leave us alone and leave us to ourselves. But our next thing in this, and fulfilling our purpose through death to self, is, get this: my life belongs to others. My life belongs to others. Listen, in order to live the life that He's talking about, and being a grain of wheat, a corn of wheat that's going to fall into the ground and die to self, I'm telling you right there, that is speaking of someone who is willing to give themselves for the sake of others. That's what Jesus did. And so that's how marriages work, just in harmony. That's how relationships work in harmony, when Christian people agree that, hey, this is not about me. This is even not about you. This is about the glory of God, and I'm willing to give of myself for His glory. And I'm willing to do that towards others. And I feel like it's in a relationship thing. Also, my life belongs to others. My life belongs to the people sitting in this room. I am to set aside my selfish ambition so that I might rightly serve each of you. And the same thing you can say about your ministry in this church. There are millions of things we all could do for selfish ambitions and make our life all about us. But what we do in portions of our life, we set those ambitions aside for the sake of each other. We do that for reaching lost people. We humble ourselves and we go out and actively try to knock on their doors or make phone calls or send postcards or send a message, text message, whatever it may be. We give so missionaries can go. What is that, folks? That's nothing more than us giving of ourselves for others. Knowing that my life belongs to others too. Now don't misquote that. Don't take that out of context. I'm not saying other people own me. But a portion of my life is invested in others. And Jesus had that attitude. He didn't make it about himself. My life has a purpose. It's to die to self and produce much fruit for the glory of God.